Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN joins us every Thursday here on Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe, for his cultural connections. Of course, he also joined us on Monday, just 48 hours, less than 48 hours after the attempted assassination of the former president, Donald Trump, in Butler, Pennsylvania. Father, it's been several days, and we're still trying to sort things out. And what is really frustrating, I mean, Americans deserve to know, and this is not just for Donald Trump, but for all candidates, for President Biden, for anyone in a very high, powerful position, if they are to be protected by the Secret Service when they go to events, especially large rallies, we need to know that our leaders are protected, and we still don't have the answers. I mean, it just seems that there is such a lack of information, and the excuses that the Secret Service director is giving regarding not having snipers on that roof that was like open season on the podium doesn't make any sense because it was slanted. I mean, we have snipers all over the world shooting from and watching things from very, very rough and difficult terrain. And the other snipers are on a slanted roof. Who told her to say that? That is so ridiculous. Anybody, even if you don't have any type of a law enforcement background. I mean, if you watch enough action films, you know what happens. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I'm just wondering your thoughts in terms of a lack of transparency and truth.
I think two issues. One, the senators said that she hung up on them in a phone conference with the Senate.
Wow.
Secondly, she was at the room in the Republican convention.
Right,
and
I saw
that. And was confronted by a number of senators, and she walked away.
Mm-hmm.
What that tells me is she does not have a good answer to these things. You know, when somebody just simply refuses to give an answer to direct questions from her superiors. I mean, she is working for the people of the United States, and the ones who have proper oversight on the department are the senators and the representatives. They have a constitutional right to know these things. She didn't want to do it. That's twice in as many days. The attempt to put blame on the local police for not covering that roof and building was, you know, then refuted by the police commissioner of that town, who said they told us only to do traffic control. They didn't assign us. So then you add deceit. This is not what we as citizens expect from the people who have tremendous responsibilities. Secret Service is not some rummy group. This is a very, very important group. Other things coming out also is that in terms of budget and such, that the Secret Service agents are getting very little time for their ongoing training. This is something that was stated by a person who was recently in the Secret Service. They're just not getting that time, which means there are most likely budget cuts there. And other people are being moved over to the border to, you know, to deal with whatever they're doing or not doing. So, yeah, this is indicative of a lack of priority for something that is not to be neglected. This could have been very different today.
Well, Father, if you think about the fact that the world is watching, and God forbid, again, whether it be President Biden, Donald Trump, a senator, what are those who are not exactly our friends thinking about access to these powerful people? I mean, there's already more information about another threat from Iran against President Trump that the Secret Service knew about before Saturday. So this puts the country in danger because our leaders are not being properly protected.
And it's not only President Trump.
This
young man apparently had pictures of President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Was he going to target him at some point? Was this an opportunity for him that just showed up because it was in his own town? But it could have been President Biden had he shown up. I mean, it's not only about former President Trump. It's about a lot of people where we have very serious enemies. We have an undefended border with lots of potential agents of our enemies. We know people from enemy countries have come in large numbers. Sometimes they get caught, sometimes they don't. With 11 million people having come in the last 3 years, this makes a dangerous situation where our enemies want to get revenge for various things, and or a name for themselves, or they have an ideology. I mean, and then other people are just crazy, and other people are simply mean. And you cannot dismiss the fact that there are some people who are, having mental problems, and others who are just sociopathic and can be paid by other sociopaths with more money to do crimes for them. Mm-hmm. That happens every day.
Yeah.
And that's what the cartels are doing. Mm-hmm. They are sociopathic personalities who pay other sociopaths to poison 100,000 people a year with fentanyl and do all kinds of murder, violence, and human kidnapping. So you cannot have an easy because you think, well, we're nice guys, they'll like us. That's not the way sociopathic people work. They look for nice people specifically to attack them. And they go for easy targets.
Oh.
And we have to be extra vigilant. And I think most people in the Secret Service, the CIA, the FBI, are really trying to do that. But, there seems to be just a lack of emphasis on those security issues. And our system is one that depends on, peaceful transition of government, on debate, and on voting, things that are meant to be raising up human dignity. And this is a very, very important thing to protect that process, or else it does slip down towards chaos.
Yeah, that was my next point, in that everything that we're talking about in terms of peace and the dignity of the human person, protection,
mm-hmm.
What's so beautiful about the Catholic faith, and this is something that J.D. Vance mentioned in an interview that EWTN's Catholic News Agency posted on their website, that he spoke with EWTN News Nightly a few years ago, and he was talking about his book, and he was saying what drew him to Catholicism was the fact that it had such a respect for the human person.
Yes.
Both in life, but also in the everyday for the laborers and the way we protect people. And this is what we're talking about here this morning, is so Catholic. And that's why I think, and I'll ask you about this as we come back, only have a minute left. I'll give you a few seconds and we can pick it up after the break. But you think about the timing of the Eucharistic Congress and how important it is
exactly.
to be focusing on Jesus in a time of such chaos and division in our country, and how badly needed this is. And I'm telling you, Father,
bingo.
I mean, yeah, God is above everything, and I don't think the bishops, they can't see the future. None of us can. It was several years ago when they started this revival, had any idea. I mean, we knew the country was divided, but that we would be in this situation and so badly needing to refocus on Jesus. We'll talk about that with Father Mitch, bringing it back to square one, as we always do with our cultural connections. Everything goes back to the truth with a capital T, as in Jesus. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour. You are listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio. This particular program, Catholic Connection, co-production of EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Great to have Father Mitch Pacwa on with us every Thursday for our cultural connections. Again, Father, we wrapped up that last segment, and you were kind of giving us an overview of the situation, this very frightening situation we have in our country right now. And yet, God is always there, and he's there big time in Indianapolis. He's everywhere, but in Indianapolis in particular, bringing people together to focus on body, blood, soul, and divinity. What's the significance of the timing of this, Father, do you think, right now?
I think there are a couple of things. First, this Eucharistic Congress is a response by our bishops to a serious problem that began in the 1970s, where catechists, teachers, and oftentimes priests preaching from the pulpit and theologians have downplayed the Eucharist. And I, you know, having been in seminary in those days, it was oriented towards ecumenical movements where you, well, let's just de-emphasize what makes us different from the non-Catholic communions, especially the mainline churches, and then we'll work towards unity. And we all have to walk toward each other. That was a mistake on two levels. One, that you don't water down doctrine in order to bring unity. Unity comes around the truth of the faith and not by watering it down. And secondly, those were the very denominations that had begun their complete collapse. Now they're fading into insignificance. So that was a double mistake. And now the bishops are getting us to teach authentic Catholic doctrine of the Eucharist, so that we understand when we approach Holy Communion, it's not, you know, just a nice thing to do. This is coming to Jesus Christ, and that is the other goal of this Congress, to keep the Church focused on the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, one of the great things, again, as you were mentioning before, that J.D. Vance converted to Catholicism because he recognized the importance of the dignity of the person as taught by the Catholic Church. And every person has dignity from the moment of conception to the natural death. And that dignity means that the poorest member of our Church can receive the same Lord Jesus as the Pope or any king or emperor who has ever been a member of the Church. That the dignity of every person is a gift from God, who wants to bring us back into the image and likeness of God into which we were created. Sin mars that image and likeness. Jesus Christ is the only one who can restore it. Of course, by forgiving our sins, that's why we need confession, so we can receive the Eucharist worthily, as St. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 11, but also so that as we receive the Lord, he raises our dignity to a new level. This is a key part of this Congress. And, you know, there are well over 50,000 people with registered, and there may be more that show up. With all of this, you know, really this convention in Milwaukee is very important, and people have to pay attention, and yet people are coming to this Congress by the tens of thousands, larger than the convention, in fact. And this is something extremely important for the nation, to restore our love of Christ and the Eucharist, both in terms of frequent reception and worthy reception of the Eucharist, as well as adoration of Jesus and drawing closer to him in our prayer, personal prayer time.
You know, I think there's been so much prayer. Obviously, we had the revival for 3 years, but also so many people have been praying for truth to be revealed And I think a lot is being revealed right now. And for me, a big prayer of mine always is, especially on, in front of the tabernacle, in front of Jesus, in the monstrance for adoration, is to reveal what's going on with the media. And I think it has been revealed so strongly. And you made a point, Father, during the break, and we can wrap up with this, that given all the confusion and the chaos out there, the media are experiencing the same thing that the Democrats are right now, because they weren't truthful. The media were not truthful about the situation. They were not honest with the American people on many levels, on many previous stories, going way back to abortion and contraception and all of that, but more recently with some of the major stories. And we always have to pray that in God's timing, it's not our timing, truth will be revealed. And I'm hoping that people understand how important, as you said Monday, it is to discern properly and to keep praying. Use events like this that we can see this evening on EW10 and all the great talks that are coming up. Tonight, Father Mike and Mother Olga are going to be speaking, and EW10 will carry it live. But it's so crucial that we continue to pray, Lord, reveal the truth. Lord, help us.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. This is, oftentimes people worry that politicians are not telling us the truth and the media is not telling us the truth. There is a major, major gap between those who tell us things and what we believe from them. What we want is Jesus, who is truth itself.
Yep.
He personifies truth, and part of our dignity is, unlike all the other animals, we human beings want to know the truth. We know we can be lied to. We know we've told lies. And we know that the truth is what sets us free. That's the word of Jesus Christ. And the truth about him in the Holy Eucharist, and the truth about the nature of being human, the nature of God, the world, all of this is exactly the kind of truth that we seek from him. And that raises up our dignity as well. You know, it's part of eternal life. That's one of the proofs of eternal life. You can stand in front of a dog or a cat and lie your head off. They won't know. And they won't care. Do I get a treat or don't I? No. But when you lie to a human being, that changes your relationship with that person, and it indicates that eternal life, because truth is a reality that we can contemplate not on the basis just of being in this body. But truth is something we can contemplate for all eternity. If we choose against God and his truth, we will deal with the anger of lies and deception for all eternity.
Yeah.
Hell is the place of utter hatred and lies. Heaven is where you have infinite love and infinite truth.
Yeah.
These are the choices we make for eternity, and we begin here on earth. And that
Amen,
is
Father.
When we come to the Eucharist.
Yes, beautiful, and the Eucharistic Congress. And we go there next with Anna Mitchell from the Sunrise Morning Show. She joins us from the floor of the convention. And again, beautiful time to focus on Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, all the time, but especially this week during the National Eucharistic Congress. And you can follow it live on EW10.com and on our radio and TV outlets. We'll be right back.